Welcome to Thriving in Your Third Act, a free online event featuring bold women leaders who are sharing their favorite tips, tools, and practices to help you find fire and fulfillment after 50. Share this event with your friends and family and come join us on Facebook at The Shift Network. And now your host, Sabrina Chaw.
Hello, everyone. I'm so happy to introduce you to Dr. Maria Michael. Dr. Maria is an internationally known healer who combines a unique blend of Eastern, Western, and Native American healing practices and is a Lakota Dine traditional elder and healer. Her greatest passion comes from helping people individually achieve lasting relief from obstacles that stagnate physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual healing by combining her doctorate-level training in psychology, neurofeedback, hypnosis and neurolinguistic programming, somatic therapy, hand-on healing, and ancient wisdom teachings. Dr. Maria, welcome.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Sabrina. I want to just explain that I am a Lakota Diné. Diné is the word for the people of the Navajo Nation, as you know them. So I want to just make that correction.
Thank you very much for that. I appreciate that. Well, Dr. Maria, I've been really thrilled in anticipation with our interview because you are the only one from the Lakota Diné tradition that is speaking and a healer in a very deep, profound sense. And I know that the way that we will be in this interview would be almost like sacred ceremony, and that perhaps you would start with a prayer to bring the listeners to a place that they can receive what you have to say.
So we would like to just add one thing. There are many traditional healers all over, and there are many that are out doing huge, wonderful work within the tribes, within traditional ceremonies, and in many other ways. We became more noticeable and in a very humble way because of our work at Standing Rock. So we want to be sure to know that there are so many grandmas and so many grandfathers and elders who are not being seen, but are there and are holding space for all the people in all the world. So we wanted to say that we are just one small grain of sand among much sand on the beach. And so we want to honor all those ones that are maybe not on this interview, but doing the work humbly and quietly in whatever way they can do, without even being recognized, and they're doing it anyway. And so we want to recognize them, and we want to recognize all the ancestors, because without everyone's ancestors, indigenous and non-indigenous, none of us would be here in this very moment to talk with each other. So yes, we would like to do a prayer. Tunkashila, grandfather, unchi grandmother, unchi maka, grandmother earth. Tongayate, Stone Nation, Petawaka, Sacred Fire. We ask the four-legged, the winged ones, the standstill nation, the ones that swim in the water, the creepy crawlers. We ask all living beings on this planet Earth, on Grandmother Earth, Unshimaka, Grandma Earth, to be with us in this time, on this phone, so that all the people who are listening can feel you in their hearts, can be opened like a rose, one petal at a time, so that each person may blossom into who their essence and what their purpose is and why they are here on this planet incarnated at this time. May each and every being wake up so that we may, as one family of living beings, know no separation from creation, from Wakatanka, so that we, as one living being family, can can learn to live in respect, with integrity and honesty, and to honor each other's path and each other's traditions and each other's way of life, and learn to create a tapestry where we can live together in peace and prayer and love. Aho metta kiyase. We're all related.
Thank you so much for that, Dr. Maria. One of the things that bring to mind for me is, first of all, when you address Earth as Grandmother Earth, and, you know, many others say Gaia or Mother Earth, and there's just a different texture between addressing Earth as Grandmother Earth and Mother Earth. And I'd be interested to hearing about the Grandmother Earth and how you view her differently than, say, Mother Earth, or perhaps you don't, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, different traditions and different peoples call the Earth many things, but if it comes from the heart, it has the same power. We call her Grandmother Earth because in the indigenous way, she has been here for all the eternity, and she has the wisdom of a grandmother. She is right now going through huge healing and huge crisis to try to cleanse herself, unfortunately, from the things that two-leggeds have done to her. And like Grandmother Earth, we ourselves as two-leggeds, who are fashioned after the standstill nation, after the tree nation, with legs and arms, just like the standstill nation gathers the fruits of the food and water from Grandmother Earth to nourish itself and transform it into an elixir, and then transferring it out through its arms into the air for oxygen for the planet. So we must transform ourselves, because Grandmother gives us food and water and shelter, each one of us. Without her, we would not be here. And so it is a sign, when we say Grandmother, is a sign of respect. It's a sign of understanding the knowing that is even beyond our knowing that she holds. Because she too is a mystery in and of herself. So it's about always the idea of an honoring of an elder, because she is our elder. And she has taken care of generations and generations of all living beings, two-leggeds, four-leggeds, creepy crawlers, of everyone. She tirelessly, like a mother, like a grandmother, gives all that she can so that we can all exist without expecting anything back.
Well, I appreciate that, Dr. Maria. As you're addressing Grandmother Earth, I'm thinking of many, many of the listeners who are on this call, because many of them are grandmothers too. So as you acknowledge Grandmother Earth, I can really feel their own hearts open, because they're being acknowledged in their wisdom too, and what they've lived. And so I appreciate that. And you talked about earlier in your prayer about including each other's traditions, and that we're all related. And how do you see us coming together to create change?
One of the magnificence of Standing Rock was to be able to come together in times of great despair, in times of being treated with enormous brutality from outside forces, but to see the people in the camps at Oshete Shakawin, to see the people at Sacred Stone, to see the people at Rosebud, and to see all the races come together, to see the two-spirit camp where there are people of all genders and practicing all traditions of those genders, where the prophecy of coming together that has been here since the time of Crazy Horse, about that all the people will come together, the black, the white, the red, the yellow, will come together. There will be a time that they will come together to work as one. And while we were there, we met people from Turkey, from China, from Japan, from Norway, from Greece. There were people from all over the world, because in Europe, they were hearing much more about Standing Rock than the people in America because of the media blackout. But we created a place where there was safety, where everyone could work together, and it wasn't a question of what color you were. It was, what do you need help with? What needs to be done, Grandma? What's the next thing? There was no hierarchy in some ways other than the spiritual leaders. And everyone was just there to try to move forward. Even with the veterans coming and everything that happened with Uncle Leonard Crow Dog and the honoring ceremonies and all the honoring ceremonies that were done and the morning ceremonies at the sacred fire, it was always every race, every gender, every age. We had children born at Standing Rock in that brutal winter and elders that came, and everyone tried to work together. And it is possible. It is possible. We know now here in the East Bay, we are trying to create a council gathering of ancestors and elders based on Indigenous principles that will be multi-faith, to try to create a container that, as things are lost with what is happening with our government at this time, that we as all people can come together to create a space to help each other.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of race, regardless of gender. Because unless we come together as one family, if we stay divided, that's how we lose our power. If we come together, there is power in numbers. Things are changing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how do we bridge that gap in the divide between, I mean, you mentioned really reaching out and just asking them, what do you need help with? What do you need done? And that's a beautiful way of reaching out. What could be another way to just really reach out and bridge that divide? Because like you say, we are so in a divisive tone of our country now.
Well, when you think that there is darkness, it only takes one light to dissipate dark in a room. When it's pitch black, you just bring in one candle. If each of us can be one light, where two lights come and three lights come, the darkness starts to dissipate. You can start to see in the room. That's how, if we can stay, each of us can learn to heal ourselves. If we can learn to see where we are stuck, emotionally, physically, mentally, where our minds are limited, if we can know, one of the three principles that we often teach when we're talking is that we are all divinely guided, all of us, and nothing is impossible. If we, now that we are learning how to be digital, when you text, the word impossible, but if you separate it and you write I space M space possible, the word impossible means I am possible.
I like that.
And if we, it is our birthright not just to survive, it is our birthright to thrive as beings. And if we can remember those three tenets, then each of us, and those are things that have been gifted to us, those tenets from the spirits, if we can remember that and heal ourselves, then we can look at the next person and understand that they're in their own evolutionary process of healing. And if we can come in that place of prayer and honoring and love and say, how can I help you? It takes a moment to say that. How many times during the day do we go through and say, how are you? But people just pass each other and say it, but they really don't stop to hear the answer. Is it really a question, or is it just a perfunctory way of greeting? It's about each of us becoming authentic, and in that authentic place of the heart, someone else can feel that. And then from that place, you can say, how can we help?
Yes. Very, very, very inspiring. Yes. How can I help you? Really just reaching out.
And we speak in the we, Sabrina, so we are sorry to interrupt, because one of the problems with I is that it keeps us isolated. Mm-hmm. We always speak in the we because it is we, you and I, Sabrina. It is we and all the people who are working to create this broadcast. It is we always connected to spirit. There's no way I, this little human, could be doing all the things that we are doing, the doctoring, the healings. It's we and the spirits. If we talk in the we, then we start to become inclusive of everyone. When we speak in the I, often we are excluding. And so In the Western way, that is another way that we create a divide. So if we think of our neighbors, our relatives, or the people we meet as we, as really one of our relatives, then it's a lot harder to do some of the things that are being done to each other.
Yes, absolutely. I like that. Seeing them as our relatives, as our family, really. Yeah,
yes,
absolutely.
Yes.
So, Dr. Maria, how can we come together and align ourselves in the healing of Grandmother Earth?
Well, there are many ways. Everyone in this world has different places of comfort. When we were younger, we liked to be the kid in the back of the class. You know, we didn't want to sit in the front. Somehow, for whatever reason, spirit has brought us way up into the front. But everyone has their way to do it. Prayer is huge. You know, there have been books published on how you can change molecules in water by this famous Japanese author who showed how praying with the water can change the molecule based on what frequency and feeling you were aiming at the molecule. So even prayer can change. Look what prayer did at Standing Rock. Prayer.
Yes.
There was no money being bartered. There was nothing. It was all prayer. Peaceful prayer. There was no hierarchy of government. It was just everybody self-regulating. And so prayer is one way that is quick, that is simple, that can be done anywhere in your home. Then there's ways to start taking it from prayer into action. And everyone's comfort zone is different. But there are so many incredible organizations now. Indigenous Environmental Network, being run by Tom Goldtooth. There are so many organizations that are trying to create ways to help Grandmother Earth. There are the valve turners. There are so many people who are trying to create awareness, whether it be in media, whether it be in protests, whether it be, you know, in the movies with Al Gore's recent movie that came out, Inconvenient Truth 2. There are so many ways, grassroots ways that can be done just in your local communities, just in recycling, just in saying, you know, I'm not going to buy envelopes anymore. I'm just going to keep recycling the ones we get, all the extras in the mail. There's so many ways to keep saving the planet, but it takes consciousness to do it. And the more people who become active, certainly the quicker changes can happen. But we also don't want to dictate and say there is only one way, because each person has to be accepted for their level of comfort and what they're willing to do and how they're willing to step out. And there's no one right way. They're all good.
How would you suggest that we start with what's right for us to start with in our own healing in order to clear our minds and our hearts to come into our consciousness, to be aware of what we can do?
Well, 2.5 years ago, the spirits asked us to start coming out and becoming more public. And we started to do workshops at that time where we were helping people learn how to reach places deep within themselves that were keeping them stuck. But each of us, we know, right now in this very moment while you're listening to this, each of us knows what are the things that are our triggers, where our traumas have been, where our hurt and pain has been, and what we've been able to transcend and what still owns us. If we can begin to look at that and do the deep emotional therapeutic work and cleanse ourselves, find ways to come to peace within ourselves, because when those traumas and that pain and that stuckness colors our vision, colors our ability to sometimes even see our choices in front of us, mm-hmm. and we only see mm-hmm. one choice when there could be 25 choices, then we're limiting ourselves, which then limits our belief system. It limits our biology, because there is no separation between body, mind, and heart and spirit. And then it limits what we believe can happen in the world. So if we start with ourselves, if we can imagine that each of us is like a stone, and when that stone is thrown in the water, we create a ripple effect that affects the other lily pads in the pond. But depending on how pure that stone is, depends on how that ripple is. And the question is, if we heal ourselves and cleanse ourselves, then the ripples we send out are purer. The ripples mm-hmm. we send out are of a different frequency. And that's how we change the world, person by person. And then it goes mm-hmm. out. And it's exponential. If people know anything about quantum physics, we worked with some nuclear physicists who were incredibly helpful in helping us change the frequency of the water and the stones to help the water protectors against the microwaves mm-hmm. and the LRAD machines. All of that's possible, but you have to be open to that possibility, open to the possibility that we individually can change. None of us has to stay stuck, no matter what age. We can change when we're in our 80s. Hopefully we're mm-hmm. changing all the time.
Yes.
And becoming yes. more conscious. Is that helpful? Is that...
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm wondering if there's anything in the traditions that you hold, in the Diné traditions, that can sort of midwife a person through their own healing, because many of us are on a path of healing through psychotherapy or, you know, whatever modality we choose. But then there's the recognition of our healing as well, that, okay, you know, is there a ritual or a ceremony that can acknowledge that, where women can sort of take the next step, be the grandmother who helps heal the grandmother earth? Is there something in that tradition or anything that you that resonates with you that can be part of that healing?
In the Lakota Diné traditions, as well as all indigenous traditions, ritual is very, very important. It's about making a commitment. You know, in our traditional sun dance, it's called dancing for your prayers. It's about having a prayer or having prayers and being willing to give up your comfort so that those prayers, because the only thing we own is this body. And mm-hmm. so when those who are listening are doing psychotherapy, and we do that work, we are licensed psychologists and neuropsychologists, we are also a traditional elder, and we meld these things and do rituals and ceremony and but anyone can make up their own ceremony. Everyone is connected to spirit. We can't, on this short time, explain a ritual. You know, certainly a traditional ritual would not be appropriate, because we would have to go through offering tobacco and bringing in the spirits. But it's, you can make your own ceremonies when you're trying, working through things, when you're trying to let go of things. One of the things that we often share is writing things down in pencil to work out the feelings, because pencil is the element and carbon of the body. And then doing a ritual with where you could be that honest, because you're not saying it to anyone. And then you can hold that. And then you can put it in a fire. You could release it. You could bury it. You could let it go back to the earth. There's so many rituals that you could create that would, for each person, resonate with who they are, with their either their upbringing or whether with their ancestors, or they can create something new that is meaningful to them. But it's really about finding ways to make your life sacred, because you are a sacred, each person is a sacred being. And it's about remembering the sacredness and remembering that we are never alone. Mm-hmm. You know, there are often times we have talked about things that are going to happen before they happen. And then we get phone calls after phone calls because we do not listen to the news on purpose, so we know what we're getting from spirit is accurate. And they say, Grandma, this just happened, or Grandma, this just happened, or Grandma, did you know this just happened? And you just talked about this. This happened to us just with a client. She just said, you just talked about this last week, and it just happened. And we said, so people ask, why do the spirits show these things if we can't change them? Well, sometimes prayers can change them. But also the spirits want people to understand that if they can tell what is going to happen or predict what will happen in the future, they want people to know that they are there, that there is a knowing bigger than each individual human, that is bigger than we are. And so if they can tell us about things that will be coming or prophecies, one, it's to ask people to try to get an alignment and prayer and peace and love, and to change the paradigm from power and greed. But it's also to help people remember that they're not alone, that there is something bigger than us, that there's this great mystery that is there and comes from such a loving place. And so they tell us these prophecies from that loving place so that it can help realign all of us and know that we're not alone.
Beautiful. That's a great reminder, Dr. Maria. And as you're talking about that, I'm just thinking about the work that you did at Standing Rock when you mentioned it, when the protesters were suffering such extreme conditions and brutal treatment by the authorities. And I'm wondering, how did you muster the courage and the strength to endure that and stand in your truth? And how could this be like a metaphor for other women at this stage in life that they can do in their own lives in the face of tremendous challenge?
So we are going to ask you forgiveness because we are going to cry. Because when you ask that question, a lot comes up. So many people were hurt. So many things happened. So many people came that weren't prepared for what was going to happen. And the bitter cold of minus 40 and minus 50 degrees was something that many people were not prepared for. But what gave us personally the courage was knowing that we have children who are just starting college. Myself. And we have grandchildren, 7 of them. And we have adult children who we've adopted. And we want them to have a wonderful place to live. We want our grandchildren to be able to swim in clean water. We want our children to have the opportunity to be able to eat clean food. There are children right now on the Diné Reservation, on the Navajo Reservation, that because of all the uranium mining in the 50s and 60s that was not done well, are being born with cancer. Their bodies are, with the Geiger counter, are irradiating, and they're being forced to drink polluted water, more than half of that reservation, because there's not the money to clean it up, the government's not cleaning it up, and the people don't have the money to keep buying bottled water. You have no idea what is happening on our planet. And so what gives us courage
Our heart aches for all these people, not just here in this country, all over the world. All these children who need a place to live, who have the right for clean water, who have the right for quality food, who have the right to walk on this earth. And it is our absolute inherent human duty to make sure that the next seven generations can continue, and they have a place to continue. Mm. So it's not really having courage. It's, we don't know what to call it. It's, how can we deny that to them? If you choose to bring children into this world, it's an obligation to make sure that they have what they need.
Yes. Yes. And even those who don't have children, such as myself, it's feeling the children of the earth, feeling those
and
children
you,
that perhaps we lost. Yes.
And even mm-hmm. if you don't have children, like you said, you've been given the right to be here. You've been given the gift. And it's about passing on that gift, even if you don't have children, because you've been gifted the privilege. It's a luxury to be here.
Mm-hmm.
We have to treat it as a luxury and remember it's a luxury. And everything we have is a gift.
Yes. Mm. Dr. Maria, that calling is just such a heartfelt, heart-aching calling to feel the suffering of our children, of who we are, of our planet, of Grandmother Earth. And it's such a heartfelt calling, and I think that's what it boils down to, it feels like, is really feeling the heartache in us. Feel the Grandmother Earth crying. Yes.
Yeah, it's that simple. If each bear feels that way about its cub, each plant feels that about its seedling, if we all feel that way, all of us, if we each, as two-leggeds, cut our arm, we all bleed the same color.
Mm.
It's that simple.
Mm.
And
mm.
so that is why healing ourselves is so critical, and why the work we're doing is so critical. Because if we heal ourselves, then there is no difference if we look at another. Because every parent wants the same things for their children. Every animal wants the same things for their offspring. Every tree wants the same thing for the seeds that it plants. It is that life cycle, that circle of life. And whether we have offspring or not, we've been gifted the chance to live. There is a responsibility in that gift. And if we really took that as responsibility, we wouldn't be where we are.
Yes.
It is
yes.
only because of power and greed and money that we forget about the gift.
Yes, it is a gift. It truly, really is a gift. And Dr. Maria, you do so much work in cultivating this gift and helping the healing of Grandmother Earth and others. Can you tell us a bit more about the work that you do in the little time that we have left in this interview? I'm sure our listeners would love to hear it.
Well, you may all go to our website, drmariamichael.com. You'll see mm-hmm. that we have workshops that we run. We do individual ceremonies where we spend 4 days in prayer, and we can help diagnose why people are where they are stuck emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually. We've worked with people with cancer and AIDS, all kinds of illnesses, transplants. We work long distance with people as far as Dubai and Australia. We have just finished an incredible conference of Indigenous elders called the shamanismconference.org, where we had Indigenous elders from Australia, the Amazon, Korea, all coming together to do ceremony. Then we left and just came back from South Dakota. And also we're at the Treaty Council at the Oglala Sioux Nation, where they wrote a proclamation for Grandmother Earth, and again had people from the Kogi elder, from the Amazon, from the Mexico City. Everyone's coming together. And the individual work that we do and the individual group work that we do can all be found on the website, and it's really about starting with each person. We're so dedicated to that. And we're dedicated to the larger work as well, because we're doing both simultaneously. But it really starts with each person.
Yes.
Because the clearer each of us can become, then the clearer we can see the choices in front of us. And we don't repeat patterns. And we learn from them. We are born imperfect by design. That's how we learn. We don't know anyone, any human, and that learns when everything in their life is wonderful. We learn when things are hard. We learn when we make mistakes. We learn when we stumble. But it's also about learning from those times. And sometimes we have the skill sets, and sometimes we don't because we've not had the mentorship. So it's about creating that relationship where it's safe so people can really go deeper into their pain and into their stuckness, whether it be on whatever level, physical, mental, emotion, and spirit, so that they can be happier, they can thrive, which then they can turn around and extend their hand and help someone else to thrive. And that's how we change the world.
Very, very inspiring, Dr. Maria. And you, I think you may have already answered this last question, but given what you've talked about, what is one thing you'd like to leave us with today as a calling to step into our own healing with Grandmother Earth?
We ask everyone who's listening on this day, and we're going to pray with you in just a minute, but we ask you to get really quiet, to look into your heart. Each of us has come here with a purpose. We're each a spoke in the wheel. Each of us is equally as important as the other. Go into that place and ask how you can be of service. In what way, with your gifts, can you best be of service to this, to each other, to yourself, and to the planet? And if we start each day that way, this world will be different. And so we want to pray, Tonkashila, Grandfather, Unshi, Grandmother, Unshi Maka, Grandmother Earth, Tonkayate, Stone Nation, Petawaka, Sacred Fire, Creepy Crawlers, the ones that swim in the water, the winged ones, the four-leggeds. We ask you all to join us, and we ask in this moment, with everyone who's listening to this on the radio, that you send out your frequencies of love to each and every one, that you bless them and those that they love, that you bless them, those that they love, and their ancestors, that you help each one offer themselves up to be of service for the greater good of all living beings, so that all living beings can live on this planet in harmony and in peace and in love, so that we may preserve Unshi Maka, Grandmother Earth, for the next seven generations, and then the next seven generations after, so it may continue, so she may continue to give us food and water and shelter, so she may continue, and as she may feel our love, and she may feel the shift in the paradigm that says we remember you, we remember, and we are grateful for what you have given us, and it is our turn to be grateful and show you that you are worth saving. As we learn to save ourselves, we will save you. We ask from the deepest part of our heart, Wakatanka, great mystery, that you let the frequencies go out to each and every person through their radio waves. Send that love. Help them remember they are always connected in every moment. Even if they're feeling lost at any moment, they can reconnect. And they're not alone. Aho, metakiasi.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. My heart is just cracked open. My mind is my spirit, everything. And I'm actually, I know we're ending this interview, and I feel like going into my own quiet space and just pondering the words that you said, Dr. Maria. I think I'm in tears myself, so thank you very much for being part of this.
Well, that makes two of us. The spirits always touch our hearts if you let them.
Yes.
Wishing you all many blessings, and may each footstep be blessed as you walk on Grandmother Earth. Remember who you're walking on. Remember she loves you. Take care of her.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Dr. Maria. Thank you for taking such a profound step in what you're doing and helping us heal ourselves and heal Grandmother Earth. I so appreciate you being on this program, and I hope we will cross paths again. I'm sure we will. And we all will hopefully cross your path at some point. Yes.
And thank you for the honor of being willing to talk with us on this morning. And thank you for everyone in the background who's making this all possible. We ask blessings for you as well.
Yes. Blessings to all. And thank you, listeners, for joining us. And as Dr. Maria mentioned, you can find her on drmariamichael.com. That's her website where she lists a lot of, as she mentioned, the workshops and the ceremonies and all the different things that they do. So check her out, check them out, check yourself out, check everything out. It just feels so worthwhile. Thank you, Dr. Maria. And thank you again, listeners, for joining us. Bye-bye.
Wapila tanka.
Thank you for joining us for Thriving in Your Third Act, brought to you by the Shift Network. To learn more, visit thrivinginyourthirdact.com. To join our global community of people awakening to their divine humanity and taking inspired action, visit theshiftnetwork.com. Thank you again for gathering with us and sharing this empowering path with your friends and family.